Pray with me. So engage us now, O God, in the work of your Spirit. Stir our minds and our hearts to overflowing. Grant us most of all the obedience of faith, that we might allow our lives to manifest your work and your truth. And it's in Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning begins a new series for us in Lent. It's a 7-week series about giving it up. Lent is often about a time in which we give up things to draw closer to God. I remember practices where I gave up soda, or I gave up candy and sugar. Some of you might give up some of your favorite things of life, like basketball or golf or something crazy like that. Just thinking, Ben. But anyway, it's not, though, just a simple 40-day experience that I'm inviting you into this year. Because all too often, if you live out a Lenten discipline of giving something up, you can't wait until Easter when all of a sudden you drink all the soda and you eat all the food and you do all the things that you once gave up. No, this series is entitled Giving It Up, and it will identify those things that we as disciples are not merely to give up over 40 days, but over our lifetime walk with God. And this morning, the first and initial one is about giving up control. Any control freaks among us? You don't have to put your hand up. I know you're there. And in fact, I probably know who you are. I might even find myself as part of that good company of those who at times always get confused about who God is and who I am in relationship to God. Because one of the easiest and the simplest of the temptations is to understand that at times we push God into a different place. And we try to replace God with our own agenda. We find our control and our opportunity to orchestrate our lives as one of those things out of which we do better than anyone else, we think. The psalmist in Psalm 46 prays this prayer: "Cease striving and know that I am God." Trying to be in control or relinquishing control does not work together. You cannot do both. You either surrender at the heart, as the psalmist says, and acknowledge who God is as a part and fabric of your life, or you keep God out and you remain God yourself. One of the first steps of letting go of control is stopping the striving. Stopping the need to control itself. And I have this wonderful instrument of God's creation known as a computer. Do you have one of those? It always reminds me about control. The other day I had done extensive work at home late in the evening on my laptop. I closed it up and got up and allowed 30 minutes of my morning to address the printing of this final item and to get to my next activity in the day. I arrive at work and I open my computer, and what does it say? It is shutting down to download updates, right? You know it. You've experienced it. Just when you're sitting there thinking, I need this done now, you have to wait. So, in surrendering control, I took a couple deep breaths and I started watching the clock, because I knew my meeting was still going to come when I'd scheduled it. 5 minutes passed and it still said 30%. It now gave me that percentage, 31, 32. It was so slow in these downloads. And I said, "You have got to be kidding me." Couple deep breaths. finally, it shuts down 100%. Thank you. Okay, what does it do next? It launches and says it must restart, right? You know the drill. And I think, I'm almost home free. What happens next? Another message. Now we must update the downloads. And again, the percentage clock comes on. 30%, 31, 32. Again, I sigh and cry out, you have got to be kidding me. What are you thinking? I have got to be where I have planned to be, and I've yet to do the simple little task of printing the thing I created last night. Now, why aren't you getting it done? After losing 15 minutes of my life that I'll never get back, I've taught the lesson of control. And if your computer is often like mine, that won't be enough. You'll have to restart it 2 or 3 times, kick it, wish it well, I don't know what, but ultimately, somehow, it comes back online and you get done what you'd hoped to do. I'm also not completely certain why our IT company thinks the weekend is the best time for running updates in the life of a church. Pastors only work 1 day a week. Let's give me a break. And yet those messages almost monthly come up on my computer, testing me time and again to say, who's in control? Instead of watching the percentage, maybe I should launch into 15 minutes of a different type attitude. Maybe you'll look at those 10 things on your program this morning and take those home as ideas, that maybe you'll give up some electronics. Maybe you'll take on some reading and some praying. You know, if every time you were ready to send a text message, you actually prayed a prayer before you push send, maybe you wouldn't send as many text messages. And maybe you'd only send the important ones. Prayer could redefine our spiritual walk this Lenten season. There are 10 different ideas, and these are not exhaustive. They are chances for you either to give up or to give in to new practices that God's Spirit could reshape us. When we surrender control, when we wait and trust in God's plan, we can know that He will be faithful and He will always lead us where He needs us to go. Jeremiah 29 says, you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Seek God and He will direct your steps. Don't you find it interesting that in Matthew's gospel, in the account that we had read this morning, that Satan is one of the best scripture quoters? Just file that as a note. When someone comes to you and says, it's in the Bible, be careful of who's quoting what scripture. Is it that word of God that breathes life, or is it that word of God that is condemnation? There are those moments out of which in that passage you would think Jesus, because of being on this regimen for 40 days, was worn down. Jesus reminds us that when, in fact, we keep our life afreshed in God, He will never flee or leave us or forsake us. The beautiful ending of that passage summarizes the power of that scripture. When Satan leaves, the angels come and minister to Jesus. How many times have we prevented the angels from ministering because we will not invite Satan to leave? There are times in which true worship manifests itself in the molding of our lives and the refreshment with God, that we would trust in God alone. Romans chapter 12 is full of the apostle laying out a pathway out of which we would live our lives. Read the 12th chapter of Romans and you'll find, let love be genuine, he pleads. hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Oh, if it was that easy to say and have it so. Some of you may have had the privilege of walking in the ocean. If you've experienced walking in the ocean, you'll have a sense of what it means to lose control. Even if you just walk on the very edge of the waters and put your feet in the sand and let the water run around you, you'll notice you have no control even in the shallowest places. The sand will completely keep undermining underneath your feet and carried away. When you walk out a little ways to your knees and to your waist, you'll feel the waves pitch and cause you to ebb and flow. If you go out further so that your feet no longer touch the bottom and you are captivated, you'll understand what it means to give up control. You will be powerless to the wave and to the movements of the Spirit, and you'll be called to then to begin to trust not in your own abilities and your strength, but you'll recognize who is truly stronger. It is the one who made the oceans and sets the tides in motion. It is the one who calls us from the deep to trust and rely on his faithfulness instead of our own. 1 Peter 5 proclaims, "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." And Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." When we give up control, we begin to give up fear. We begin to move into that element of trust and confidence that it is not our own provision, it's not our own safety that's at work. Matthew 6 tells us, as Jesus describes, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" This challenge to live by faith is realized first and foremost in that beautiful story in Genesis. But I hope you're paying close attention to the reading. God tells them not to eat of the tree of knowledge that's in the middle of the garden. But when examined, what does the woman do? She doesn't just merely say, "We're not supposed to eat of it." She adds another commandment: "We're not supposed to touch it." Do you understand how often it is we add more to the story of our relationship to God? We add more, and then they discover, after they eat of this fruit, they find themselves vulnerable and open, and they have to provide clothes for themselves because they're naked. If the story goes on, when God comes to walk with them daily in the garden, as he had done so, he finds them hiding because they're naked, and he asks, "Who told you?" You and I often tell ourselves we'll be the only ones who can take control. We'll be the only ones that will care for our needs. We'll be the only one that will care for our families. And yet you and I in this Lenten season are invited to give up control, to trust the one who is greater than the oceans or the waters of the deep, the one that moves across the face and calls all things into being, the one that establishes us forever and promises us even life eternal. Reinhold Niebuhr, who is the quote in the top of your program this morning, is also famous for another little prayer that you might be as surprised as I was when I learned of this truth. He is evidently the author of a prayer that talks all about giving up control. It's known as the Serenity Prayer. Have you heard it? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Niebuhr suggests to us a life of faith isn't just about complete surrender. It's about giving to a God the things you cannot change, allowing God to change us in the things we can be changed in, and the ability and wisdom to know the difference. When we trust and obey, may we be happy in Jesus, just to trust and obey.